33 minutes past the hour, Texas Standard Time. I'm David Brown. A flight from Dallas to London takes about 9 hours on average. Not bad considering the 4,800 miles or so between the two cities, but imagine cutting that travel time in half. Well, that's the promise of supersonic flight, moving faster than the speed of sound we're talking about here. Doing so is already theoretically possible, but it comes with a very noisy catch, a sonic boom that's so jarring and disruptive to those of us on the ground, such commercial flights are prohibited. If only we could figure out a way to lower the boom, if you will, while still breaking the sound barrier. Well, that is the task of Peter Cohen. He's the project manager of NASA's Commercial Supersonic Technology Project. He's overseeing testing of supersonic flight in Galveston. Peter, welcome to Standard.
Oh, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
For folks who may be unfamiliar with the overall concept here, could you briefly explain what does supersonic flight mean as a practical matter? I mean, what's so great about it?
It's faster, simply put. Supersonic just means you're going faster than the speed of sound.
Wow. Okay, so let's talk in miles per hour just so people have a sense of this. A normal commercial airline flight might travel at what, around 400 to 500 miles an hour, is that right?
About 550 miles an hour, yes.
Okay.
So we're talking something almost double that.
Wow. So tell me, why is it that Galveston has been chosen as a place to test these supersonic planes?
NASA has been working for a long time to develop technologies that will allow supersonic flight and essentially one day put it in the hands of people or make it available to people to use on for regular travel. There's a lot to be done to get there. One of the first things that we have to do is eliminate what's called the sonic boom. And so an island community like Galveston, where the population is fairly densely spaced, is ideal. We want a large city close to the water because we want to expose the city to quiet sounds. But the result of the way we have to fly the airplane means that we have some loud sounds that we want to place over the water. If you want to fly over land, you create this very jarring bang, bang sound that happens because you're traveling faster than sound. Down at the ground, you hear two bangs, so two pressure pulses. But near the airplane, there's actually lots of pressure pulses because every time the air flows over something like the nose of the aircraft or the wing or the canopy or the engine, it produces a shock wave. Now, in a normal airplane, those shock waves are of all different strengths and they're kind of randomly spaced along the airplane. And really, because they're of different strengths, they kind of tend to catch up with each other. So very shortly, you have just the two left, and that becomes a real stable pulse that travels to the ground, and you hear the bang, bang.
Okay.
So the trick is to prevent them from piling up in the first place. So if you very carefully shape the design so that all the shock waves are about the same strength and somewhat equally positioned along the aircraft, you don't coalesce. And instead of getting that bang, bang, you kind of wind up with this smeared sound at the ground that sounds more like a thump than a bang.
Interesting. So what you're doing is you're really breaking apart the series of pulses which sound on the ground like they've all come together as one boom.
Exactly.
That's fascinating. The real issue here is not so much reaching or breaking the speed of sound. In fact, you could get to Mach 2, I guess, really, using some of the technology that's been in existence for almost 50 years, right?
That's correct. But the trick is every aircraft that's been designed so far creates a sonic boom. And when the Concorde and the U.S. supersonic aircraft program were starting in the 60s, there were tests done over communities with military aircraft to see how people reacted to sonic boom noise. And the reaction was horrendous. I mean, everybody just really did not like it. So very quickly, the FAA kind of changed course and eventually said, we will have no sonic booms over the U.S. by essentially prohibiting aircraft from flying faster than sound. Now, that's civil aircraft, not military aircraft.
You were talking about the test that you want to conduct over Galveston. How will you know whether they're successful or not? What's the marker there?
The ultimate success would be if a day of testing went by and nobody noticed. No, but seriously, what we really want to know from the Galveston test is we have 500 people that we're going to asked to participate in this survey. We want them to be able to hear the sounds, report on them, you know, make honest assessment of whether they were acceptable or not. And we want to be able to correlate that with our measurements that will be taken throughout the community. So essentially we'll have the procedures, and the information we need to move forward with the next step, which is the larger community tests.
You think it really might be possible, though, that nobody notices?
I think on some cases, yes. Certainly, if you're outdoors in a fairly normal sound environment, at the lower end of the sounds that we're talking about, we have seen that people don't respond because they missed the sound event.
It's remarkable. Peter Cohen is the project manager of NASA's Commercial Supersonic Technology Project, overseeing testing of supersonic flight over Galveston. Peter, thanks so much for taking a few minutes out to talk with us on the Texas Standard.
It's a real pleasure to talk to you, and we're really excited about working with Galveston in the future.